Please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 147. It's a great psalm. It begins with a call to praise the Lord, ends with a call to praise the Lord, and has three sections that are each headed by a call to praise the Lord. Psalm 147, page 558. Let's read this together. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked down to the ground. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food, and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for he has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders. He fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out his command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out his hail like morsels. Who can stand before his cold? He sends out his word and melts them. He causes his wind to blow and the waters flow. He declares his word to Jacob, his statutes and his judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any nation, and as for his judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, the last five Psalms, 146 through 150, all begin and end with hallelujah, praise the Lord. We've gone through that some time ago here. Praise the Lord. Besides praise, the 150 Psalms contain many prayers of woe and sorrow and frustrations and requests for divine vengeance. But in the book of the Psalms, the last five end on a note of total praise. Total praise. And that teaches us something about the life of the Christian. During this present age, there are many trials and temptations that trouble our lives. But one day, we will end. Our lives will end. The church's life will end where the Psalms end. The perfect pitch of total praise, day and night, without any blemish in that praise. May that day come quickly. Now, even though we're not there yet, and in fact, we may still have a long ways to go before we get there. We don't know when the Lord will return. We are called already now to live a life that's filled with praises to our God. Even though our praises are still mixed with mourning, with lament, with woe, we must still live a life that's filled with praise. According to Scripture, there's more than one good reason to praise the Lord. I want to list several reasons Scriptures give to praise the Lord. Number one, we should praise Him because it is our duty. It's your duty. It's what God wants. Praise the Lord, in one form or another, is the most often repeated command of Scripture. Thousands of times. God requires it. It's the number one duty and purpose for which He saved us, was to praise Him, to be to the praise of His glorious grace, Ephesians 1. A second reason we should praise the Lord: He's worthy of praise. In Himself, in all His attributes. Psalm 96. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due His name. It's due Him for who He is, the greatness of His name. Or Psalm 108. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. For your steadfast love is great above the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the clouds. I'll praise you because of your love and your faithfulness. In Psalm 111, his praise endures forever. He's worthy of an eternity of praise. So that's a second reason. He's worthy of it. And a third reason we should praise the Lord, simply because of all he's done for us in creation and salvation. Worthy are you, Revelation 4, our Lord and our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they existed and were created. You're worthy because you created everything. But also for salvation, Psalm 106, save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations, that we may give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. And then another reason that God has called us to praise him, simply because he has made us glad. He has made us glad, and that gladness goes out in praise. Psalm 92, it's good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy. Don't you see that in your own life? How the Lord has worked in you physically, giving you strength, giving you healing. But also how the Lord, and especially worked in you spiritually, given you faith. And he's so patient with you and keeps working in your life and for you. It makes you glad. And gladness erupts in singing and praise. And there's another reason that I've not listed here. One is the Lord delights in the praises of his people. He's enthroned on the praises of Israel. He loves the sound of it. That's a good reason to praise the Lord, isn't it? He loves the sound of it. He loves your praises. Even out of sinful lips, because of Christ, his Son, who's purified us and also mediates our praises. We bring spiritual offerings to him in the name of Jesus Christ, says 1 Peter 2. So our praises run to God through the blood of Christ. And he delights in them. But now in this Psalm 147, we're given yet another reason to praise the Lord. And that is because it's good for you. And we want to spend our time on verse 1. And then using the rest of the Psalm to illustrate that further. But Psalm 147 verse 1, it's healthy for you to give praise. It makes you beautiful to be a person who praises. It suits you well. It looks good on you to bring praise. That's what he's saying. Verse 1, praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant. And praise is beautiful. Or in another translation, this is the ESV. Praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God. For it is pleasant, and then the third word is different, and a song of praise is fitting. It's good, it's pleasant, it's fitting. And so I want to consider with you these three reasons for praising the Lord and use the three sections of the psalm to work through each one. We're called to praise the Lord God, the true God who made heaven and earth, who sent his Son Jesus to bring salvation to a lost and sinful human race. That God, that Lord. It is good, it's pleasant, and it's fitting to praise him. And these three reasons come down to only one. It's good for you. Now, I'll admit there's something about this that worries me when I think about it. And maybe worries every Christian. That sounds very salvation or very selfish. Praise the Lord because it's good for you? Now, isn't it supposed to be because it's glorifying to God? Really? Careful. If you praise the Lord because it's good for you, isn't that really in the end praising yourself? Isn't that the concern? Isn't that what's in it for me, religion? It's good for me. That's why I believe it's good for me. That's why I praise it's good for me. Isn't that what's in it for me, religion? Didn't Jesus save us from that? I mean, we're addicted to self-love. And salvation is being brought out of that to self-denial for the glory of Christ, to give our lives to Christ in praise. So such a thing, self-centered worship of God, is not an idle threat. It's a real concern. Some people love worship. Not because they love God, but because they're in love with the good feeling of worship. That's idolatry. Right? So you can potentially fall in love with praise without any thought of God because of how it makes you feel. So that's the concern. And that turns praise and worship into an act of idolatry, and it's no longer praise at all then. So it's understandable that some Bible commentators believe that Psalm 147 verse 1 should be translated differently. Not praise the Lord, for it is good to sing praises to our God, for it is pleasant and praise is beautiful or fitting. But praise the Lord for, you see what they do with it? He is good. Sing praises to our God for he is pleasant. Praise him for he is beautiful. There. We just solved the problem, didn't we? It's not because it's good for you or makes you beautiful. Because it's fitting for you, but because God is beautiful. And this translation appears much more Christian and pious. And the only problem with it is that it's not correct. Our Bible translations are correct. And we shouldn't alter them to try to protect God's glory. We don't need to protect God's glory. He'll protect his own glory. And his word always protects his glory. So this word is not a dangerous word. It's a good word for us. Praise the Lord because it's good for you. Even Psalm 147 verse 1 protects his glory. When God tells us to praise the Lord because it's good for us. Think about it. For when praising him does us good, then our lives reflect the glory of God more brightly, and he's glorified when we do it from the heart in true faith. So remember that God created us to praise him, brothers and sisters. When he sees his creatures doing the very thing they were created to do, the thing that elevates our existence and puts us in the right frame, praising, he's glorified. He's glorified when we do what's good and right for us according to the way he made us. He's glorified in his creatures. When his creatures are happy and joyful and bursting with the energy of praise. It's not that sorrow and anger are wrong. Sometimes these are required, the Bible says. Think about it. One day these will be gone, right? And what will be left? Only praise. One day all other notes will be gone. And only praise will be left. When in the end, believers live in the presence of their God. In the paradise of God forever and ever. So keep in mind then that we're looking at just one of the many reasons for praise. The reason given in Psalm 147 verse 1 is not the only reason, nor is it necessarily the highest reason for praising him. One commentator understood this verse well when he wrote, "Praise is a discharge of duty that reacts healthfully and beneficially upon ourselves." So you're doing it because you love God, he's worthy of it, and he tells you to. And it reacts beneficially upon yourself. It comes back with very positive byproducts upon you. It's good for you. It'll give you emotional, psychological, and spiritual health to do so. In other words, our own health is not the focus. Praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. The Lord's the focus. Always. If it's true praise. But it's a real byproduct and benefit of praising God, our health. And thus, it's an additional reason for praise and thanksgiving. We praise God because he blesses us, but God then also blesses us when we praise him. You got that? We praise God because he blesses us, and then when we praise him, or God also blesses us when we praise him. So let's look at those three words. First, praise is good. And then praise is pleasant, and then praise is fitting. The first reason to praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, says verse 1, for it is good to sing praises to our God. It's good for you. It's the most healthy and wholesome activity you can do with your life. Now, good can mean morally right, but it can also refer to human welfare and mean beneficial. And in this context, that's the idea of good. Praising God is beneficial for you. It makes you well. It puts you in a proper and a prosperous state. I don't mean makes you materially wealthy, but your demeanor and your well-being prospers. It's psychologically healthy. Praising the Lord is a healthy response to all the good that God has rained down upon your life from day to day. And by way of contrast, complaining and murmuring aren't good for you at all. They're not good, and they're not good for you. They're not a proper frame of mind. They drag your life down into depression and bitterness where God did not create you to be, and He did not save you to be, and He does not want you to be. They put you in a dark and miserable hole. Praise and thanksgiving, these are good. It's a liberating and elevating thing for you to do. Listen to these two proverbs. Proverbs 15, verse 15. All the days of the afflicted are evil. Isn't that true? All the days of the afflicted are evil. Life is difficult. But the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. Right? If you remain cheerful toward the Lord, thankful, you'll always have a feast, no matter how afflicted the days are. That's what it's saying here. And Proverbs 17, a joyful heart is good medicine. Right? It's a good medicine for you to eat, for you to drink and swallow. But a crushed spirit is bad for you. It dries up the bones. So yes, it's truly healthy for you to praise the Lord. Excuse me. Think about it. What does it mean to praise the Lord? It's to contemplate the glorious character and the mighty deeds of the God of the universe, our Creator and Redeemer. When we contemplate the works of God, His majesty and might and glory and kindness, and when we praise Him for all that He is, all that He has done, all that He is doing, all that He will yet do for us and in us, that act of praise has a great influence upon you, upon yourself. It comes back to you. It lifts up the mind to contemplate great things. It makes your mind and heart soar. And our hearts and our minds desperately need a break from Donald and Hillary and Justin and Vladimir and Al-Shabaab, and you can have a whole list of things that can just drag you down. And our minds need to soar and contemplate the Almighty God and His works, what He's done, what He's doing, what He's going to yet do. Our minds and hearts need to focus on the deep and great things of God that have been revealed to us in general and special revelation. And so we have that first section of the psalm. The first section from 1 through verse 6 is the first call to praise. And let's just read that for a moment. The Lord builds up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. These are all reasons to praise. There are about 28 to 30 reasons to praise listed in this psalm. He counts the number of the stars. He calls them all by name. Great is our Lord and mighty in power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifts up the humble. He casts the wicked to the ground. Again, here are listed several reasons to praise God. Looking at His saving mercy, how He built up Jerusalem and brought the exiles back from Babylon under Zerubbabel and Shealtiel, and later under Ezra and Nehemiah, and brought them back and protected them from the Samaritans and the other enemies who wanted this project to fail. And He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. And He counts the number of the stars and calls them all by name. Think about that for a moment. Dwarf galaxies have just a few billion stars. Giant galaxies have as many as 100 trillion stars. That's a lot of stars, I think. And then consider that there are approximately 170 billion to 200 billion galaxies out there in the observable universe. Did you keep up the count? How many count? How many stars is that? And he counts their number. In other words, God keeps track of them all. He's got his finger on each one. Knows what's happening with it. Has the stats on them. And he has a name for each one of them. I don't know what those names are. Which shows how personally and directly involved he is in every star and in the whole universe. In every detail. Wow! Let that elevate your mind and lift you up to soar to God in praise. That's good for you to think about those things. Very good. So it's good for you, but secondly, praise is pleasant. That's the second word in verse 1. It is pleasant to praise Him. And that word means it's delightful. It's delightful for you. It delights the Lord too. He was talking about you, what this does for you. It means sweet. Praise is beautiful. The Hebrew word is Naam, from which we get Naomi. Remember Naomi? She called herself Mara, or bitter, when she lived in Moab, away from the Lord. But then she comes back to Israel, and back to the Lord, and she becomes Naomi again. Pleasant. Inwardly. Happy. Praise is a delightful thing for you to do. It makes you delightful. It makes you a pleasant person, a beautiful person. Praise is beautiful and it is beautifying. It's the best cosmetic there is. It's a very pleasing and happy thing to express praise and to hear it from others. It's a very delightful thing to meet a merry heart. A heart that is glad with God. For all that He's done for unworthy sinners. All that He's done in creation and providence. Praise in the Bible is pictured as wearing a beautiful garment. Isaiah 61 is Jesus talking. And listen to what Jesus says here in Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. Because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He, God, may be glorified. Jesus is saying, that's why I came. To replace your spirit of despair, your fainting spirit, with a beautiful suit or a beautiful dress of praise to beautify you by being a person who now praises the Lord, which in our sin we're not able to do. Our mouths are shut to praise. Wow. Praising God is like putting on a beautiful set of clothing that makes your appearance very pretty or very dashing, whereas grumbling and complaining make you a very ugly person. Haven't you ever felt that way? You're going around the house doing a lot of grumbling and complaining, and you feel the ugliness that has come upon you in that moment. It makes us undesirable. At one time, we could not see God or His glory. We lived in darkness. We had eyes only for ourselves and the fading beauties of this world. It was a dark and ugly existence. We were held in bondage to fear and worry and grumbling, complaining. That's the darkness Jesus came to rescue us from. To give us eyes for God, to see His glory, to be amazed at the stars. He died for our sin of bitterness. That's why He went to the cross. He paid the price for our bitterness and murmuring. And he washed it away, and he rose on the third day to create in us a new life of praise, seeing, trusting, obeying, and praising God. That's the life that we have. Through faith in Jesus Christ, the new life that he gives you. Is that the life you want? That beauty? Are you looking for that beauty? He'll give that to you. Seek him. Trust in his Son. Well, part two of the psalm is a second call to praise. I'll just read that with you, verses 7 through 11. Second call to praise, second section of it. Showing us just how pleasant it is. Sing to the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praises on the harp to our God, who covers the heavens with clouds, who prepares rain for the earth, who makes grass to grow on the mountains. He gives to the beast its food and to the young ravens that cry. He does not delight in the strength of the horse. He takes no pleasure in the legs of a man. The Lord takes pleasure in those who fear him. I'm going to stop and look at that a moment. Takes pleasure in you who fear him, in those who hope in his mercy. Here again, our minds are lifted up to God's work in creation and salvation. Think of his great goodness and kindness in creation. He sends clouds, it says. That's the order here. He sends clouds to give rain, to produce grass, to feed the animals. Yes, he even hears the baby birds when they cry for food. Have you ever seen those little swallows peeking their heads over the nest? Wide open mouths, right? God sees that. He hears that little chirping, and he sends mama down with a fly. That's our God. Hears even the baby birds. He cares for them. He feeds them. The vastness of the galaxies. One little bird crying in a nest. All the objects of his care. As Jesus said, if your heavenly Father is so concerned about grass and birds, Matthew 6, how much more does he care for you, his own dear children? And that's what this psalm is saying. The Lord takes pleasure in the one who fears him. If he would take care of the baby birds, how much more? Take pleasure in you who fear him is really the argument. The one who hopes in his mercy. Let that amaze you, congregation, and elevate your mind. If you, a wicked sinner, hope in his mercy, hope in his pity, and you have good reason to hope in him, to trust the one who hears the baby birds and feeds them, right? It's a pretty good argument to trust in him. Then the God of heaven and earth, for whom entire nations are just dust on a scale, takes pleasure in you. The word means he finds you acceptable. He's satisfied with you. He finds nothing objectionable in you. And that clearly points to the cross of Jesus Christ, where the Lord put his Son on his Son. Everything that was objectionable in me. Everything. Put it on Jesus. And made Jesus an object of scorn, so that he might make us an object of his favor and take pleasure in us. Praise the Lord. And God did this for us that we might praise him. And as we praise him more and more, it makes us more pleasant and beautiful children of God. And God is glorified when we're pleasant and beautiful, isn't he? He saved us for this very purpose, that we might become more and more pleasing in our characters. And then the third thing, praise is fitting. The third reason to praise the Lord. Praise is fitting or comely. It's closely related to the word beautiful, and that's why the New King James Version uses the word beautiful instead. But that word fitting takes a slightly different direction than what we think of as beautiful. The word fitting means agreeable or suitable. Praise the Lord because it suits you. It's made to fit. It agrees with the way God made you. It agrees with the reason God made you too. And the reason I'm here in this world, fearfully and wonderfully made by God, is to offer my life to God in praise-filled, God-glorifying service. It fits me to praise. Paul says that in Romans 11:36. From him and through him and unto him are all things. To him be the glory forever. All things are from him. They exist through him. And here's the key. and are designed to go back to Him in praise. All things are unto Him. Unto Him. They're to go back to Him. And that's the way it is with us. That's what we're designed for. The great tragedy and self-destructiveness of sin is that we ignore our highest purpose. We live against our very design. We live in a way that is unfitting and that is miserable and that's destructive. As Paul describes the wicked in Romans 1, the wicked neither glorify God nor give Him thanks. It suits you in the way God made you, but also in the way He saved you. Your new life in the Spirit as a believer in Christ, praise suits you. It fits you well. The heart has a deep need for living to the praise of God. It's fitting to do that. That's our crown of honor and glory as human beings when we were living against our design and purpose and living in misery. God took pity on us and sent His Son to rescue us from ourselves. And Jesus came to live the life we weren't living. A life of total praise to God. A fitting life, a truly meaningful life of a fulfilled human being as God created us. That's the life He lived for us. And then He died the death we should have died as blasphemers of God, living against our purpose. Do you see how in both our salvation are found? First, He lived the life of total praise we did not live, the fitting life for a human being. And then He died to pay the price of the unfitting life that we live by nature. And when we come to Him and are saved, He gives us both. Right? He fills us with His fitting life. He forgives us for our unfitting life. And that's our salvation. In this way, Jesus came, says the Bible, to bring many sons to glory, back to the glory of praise, which suits you, fits you. Now you see how this life of praising God because it's good for you is so God-centered. It's the way God made us to live. It resembles or images Him. Praising the Lord elevates us to a way of life that reflects our good, happy, beautiful, and holy God. We look more like Him when we're doing well, when we're beautiful, and when we're living a life that suits us. We reflect Him, and that delights our God. Let's see the last section, call to praise here, and how this praise is so fitting for us. Praise the Lord, O Jerusalem. Praise your God, O Zion, for He has strengthened the bars of your gates. He has blessed your children within you. He makes peace in your borders and fills you with the finest wheat. He sends out His command to the earth. His word runs very swiftly. He gives snow like wool. He scatters the frost like ashes. He casts out His hail like morsels. Who can stand before His cold? He sends out His word and melts them. He causes His wind to blow and the waters flow. He declares His word to Jacob, His statutes and His judgments to Israel. He has not dealt thus with any other nation, and as for His judgments, they have not known them. Praise the Lord. Here again, we praise the Lord for His works, for His saving love toward His people, strengthening and protecting the church, the bars of your gates, the gates of Jerusalem. The special blessing, giving us a special blessing for our children. Don't we see that day by day as we teach them and see them take hold of the things of God and they learn to sing and praise? What a blessing. What a blessing to enjoy. He gives us our daily bread, the finest wheat He fills us with. And also, we praise Him here for His powerful work in creation. His word brings winter. We may be complaining already that snow is around the corner. And I want you to know, brothers and sisters, God's word brings snow, and we should praise Him for the storms and praise Him for the ice. And then His word brings warm winds in the spring and melts the snow and makes the land ready for gardens again and crops. That's the Lord. And then finally, the last section of the psalm goes back to his covenant love in the last verse, how this Almighty God who made and rules the world by his word has given to us his word in written form in the Bible, his message of saving love in Jesus Christ. And the idea at the end of the psalm is why? Why, God, have you chosen me? Why have you chosen us for this privilege that we should have the word? That you put the word in our homes when so many still are without the word of salvation. What an unspeakable gift. What a reason to be amazed and to praise the Lord. And in that way, Jesus answers our soul's deepest longing, the need of the heart created in God's image to go out and burst with praises to our God. Again, in unbelief, we express that longing in all the wrong ways, in idolatry. But Jesus restores us to the proper exercise of what's fitting for us, praise to our God. What a salvation. He saved us to praise him. And as we give him the praise he deserves forever, we also do what's fitting for ourselves. And by putting a song of praise in our mouths, God receives the glory, and we receive the honor of living a life that's healthy and beautiful and fits us well as we discharge, wrote that commentator, the duty to God, praise, that reacts healthfully and beneficially upon ourselves. And as we receive this benefit of praise from the Lord, which is good for us, we actually glorify him even more because we're living the good and healthy life he created and saved us to live. So God gets all the glory, even when what we do for him is also done for our own good. You see that? God gets all the glory, even when what we do for him is also done for our own good. Now, if you, dear friends, do not know a life of praise, it's because you haven't met Jesus personally. Jesus restores us to praise. That's his business. That's his saving work. Ask him to redeem you from a life that's trapped in the prison of yourself and seeing only darkness, and to set you free to go outward and upward to God, and to live a life that's truly good and pleasant and fitting. And he will answer your prayer. He'll change your spirit of misery, and he'll give you a garment of praise instead. And dear Christians, do you hear this command? Praise the Lord. It's a simple command, but it's for you, for me. Do it! It brings him glory. It does you much good. And that brings him more glory when you're doing well. He gave you a garment of praise that makes you a very beautiful person. And he paid a lot for that garment. He sacrificed his son. His son sacrificed his own life. We could have that garment of praise. Wear it. Put it on. He wants to see us looking good and healthy, because that shows his glory all the more. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of praise. That does not come from ourselves. You put a new song in our mouths, a song of our praise, of praise to our God. What a gift. You've rescued us, Lord, from self-love and self-praise and grumbling and murmuring. You've rescued us from that, and you've given us the gift of praising you. And furthermore, Lord, we praise you that when we praise you, it does us so much good, so that you might get all the more praise from our lives. We pray that you will help us, each one, to put on this garment that Jesus purchased for us in his death and resurrection. Help us to put on the garment of thanksgiving, put on the garment of praise, and to be thankful in everything, since this is your will in Christ Jesus for us. Amen.